Luke 2 verse 9. Well, now I want to wish you a blessed and a glorious Christmas. And it's the glorious part that I want to take with you. Why is it glory? Well, look at verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now, I wouldn't have you sore afraid, but I would have you filled with God's glory. The reason I want you to have God's glory is this. Who is going to turn the world round and the nation round and save us except that God showed his glory? Now, who will he show his glory to? It hasn't been a glorious year for the world. Last year saw the Twin Towers. This year has seen two of the worst disasters we've ever seen in mankind's history. I note that a team, I think, from Norfolk University has just established that parts of the Gulf Stream are now flowing at 30% below their usual warmth. And there is very great signs of imminent trouble across the world. It's not just eco-madness that makes people say that. Everywhere we see it, the borders of Islam live in continual bloody warfare. It covets our nations. We have tremendous problems. And with it all, the world cannot see his glory. Well then, who can? The nation? We've just seen the nation take another moral low in what happened in Windsor Castle as it Thursday night. Terrible, awful. Something that is shame to the uttermost upon the whole nation. Sin is a shame to any people. And it's a simple fact that we're making fools of ourselves across the world, and we're absolutely in the midst of shame. Arab newspapers have long accounts of it in and show us as a shameful and wicked nation, and the West as bankrupt spiritually and bankrupt morally. What are we going to do? Is that God's glory? Well then, is he going to show it to the church? In 1916, a man called Israel Zangwill was in the midst of the carnage of the First World War, men dying in their millions. And he wrote this, and it's an indictment to those who think like the Archbishop of Canterbury and follow modern theology about the Bible. Listen to these four lines. The world's bloody-minded, the church dead or polluted, the blind leading the blinded, and the deaf dragging the muted. And that's what he saw around him. A leaderless, hopeless mess. The church can't do it. I would say the church is struggling to keep a few people on the pews, and that's about where it is. Well then, who will? Who will be filled with God's glory? Let me bring it to you again. This is, apart from the personal ills that have blighted your own life this last year, these last months and everything, and how all those things militate against glory, unless God shows you his glory, then his glory will never come. That glory may dwell in our land, says the Bible. Do you believe that? Do you want it? It isn't whether they use older language or modern language or anything. What we need is the glory. Ichabod. The glory hath departed. Isn't it true? The pomp of yesterday is one with Nineveh and Tyre. Oh, what a depth we've sunk to as a world, as a nation, and darkness is deepening around us. Then what are we to do this Christmas walking morning? You know, there are those who walk in sparks of their own lighting. There's plenty of them. You saw an example in Windsor. They're all there in sparks from their own lighting. And where very far it will take them, I'll tell you. It won't last long in the darkness. By now they'll be back in it, in spite of all the razzmatazz. What is to be done? You know, God showed his glory to Moses. God showed his glory to Solomon in the temple. To Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above all to Ezekiel, when he saw his glory depart from Jerusalem and return again. Now, those great men saw God's glory, and then the Jews said that the second temple, and that was 600 years, the captivity of 70 years, and then right up to Christ, the 400 years in the between the Testaments, for those 600 years, the Jews themselves said, what is missing from the second temple? And the answer their children had to give was the glory. The glory was missing. So the temple that Jesus saw as a child was all glorious outside, like these great mosques, but no glory within. Now, how was the glory to return? The glory returned one night, quite suddenly. Now, who did it return to? The most despised people in the whole land. The shepherds took their sheep out to pasture in the wilderness from April to November. They brought them to the home pastures in the intervening months. These shepherds were on the hills of Bethlehem. We don't have to take it that at that time the rabbis believed that shepherds couldn't tell the difference between thine and mine, which is how it was described later, and therefore were not allowed to give witness in court and were despised. That's a later development of Judaism. But what they were despised for was the rabbis put the ban upon them, because you couldn't wash the pots and see to all the minutiae of Jewish religion while you were out in the fields shepherding. It was impossible. Therefore the Jews just wrote off the shepherds. Now, did the glory appear to the high priest? Did the glory appear to the Levites and the priests? Most of Jerusalem worked in the temple. Did the glory appear to them? No. The glory appeared to the most despised of the lot, the temple shepherds, because we know from the Mishnah that the shepherds from the temple fed their flocks near the tower, the idol of Bethlehem, and it was there that these shepherds were feeding. Now today, great darkness lies over Israel. A huge wall lies across those fields and little hills, separating Jew and Arab. As darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. But I don't just want you, Lord, to abide with me. I want the glory. How is the glory to come? Now, you and I are despised. Calvin Smith told me that when they set out to sell this building, I've never told you this, I think, before, some people from one of the really big churches, the biggest church, really, in Wolverhampton, came to see it, the clergy. And he said to me, he said they all came, they're all right. And then another time when he met me, he was in a bit more expansive mood. My, he said, they don't think much of you, do they? Now, that is how we are. We're well despised by the churches. We're despised. Therefore, I believe that you have the key of the glory in your hands as a little group. I do believe that if God shows his glory in this time, it will be to the despised, the rejected, the weak, and the ones who are thoroughly disliked by the religious establishment, just as it was in those fields. Now that is the first reason why I want to see the glory break out among you. Oh, may this Christmas bring glory, not just mince pies and puddings and things, not just presents, nor happiness, nor going to see relatives, nor anything, but the glory. That's what we're after today. Now, that's the first reason why you'd see the glory. The second reason is like it. It's this. God isn't just displeased with his church, but he's most displeased. There is a definite displeasure of God upon the church in this land. If you look at even churches like West Indians or Indians or others in this land they are growing apace. If you look at Western churches, they only grow sideways. They pull in people from other churches and say, look how big we are, and leave the churches around them empty. But they don't grow by salvation, or very rarely. The Indians see dozens and dozens of people converted every year in that Darlington Street church of theirs. We see how many. How many do all the churches in Wolverhampton see? One lady was converted in St. Luke's recently. They had it big in the magazine with a big testimony by her, how she'd been converted. Now that's the first person I've heard of converted since I left there. So what are we to say? Is not God's displeasure upon the church? Is not the church the blind leading the blinded? And they're both falling into the ditch. Now, it cannot be there that this glory comes, but we all, as with an open face, beholding as in a glass a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed by that glory into glory, by the same image into glory. Isn't that wonderful? That you are now looking in the word of glory, and the glory is coming through it. To us. Now, are we able to absorb this glory? When Moody was praying one day, he asked God to give him his Holy Spirit. And this is true. He said later, I had to say to the Lord, Lord, stay your hand. I cannot take any more. Now, Moody was a man filled with God's Holy Spirit. Do you know when he preached in London, they added 250,000 seats to the churches in 6 months. They had to actually add seats to the churches, not just more people coming. And the people coming were in huge numbers. Do you know when he preached in Covent Garden, he used to say to the first 8 rows, now get up and go away, you're all Christians, you know what I'm going to say, out with you. And then he'd say to all the people standing at the back, come in, come in. You know, when Lord Shaftesbury was taking a meeting for Moody, he introduced our cousin from America. Moody stood up, he said, I'm not your cousin from America, I'm your brother in Christ. And he went, he took the meeting by storm. Moody may not have agreed with everything he did and everything he said. Do you know, he started the YMCA because he himself was selling shoes and had nowhere to go in Chicago, and found that. Do you know, he started the Sunday school. He used to start off by wiping the sick off the floor where all the Germans had been drinking the night before, and then go around and collect the children, and then run a Sunday school, and he'd soon had a Sunday school of well over 2,000 children. It was full of life. Now, God gave him his Holy Spirit, and thousands upon thousands, every time they heard Moody, well, just literally in the end, we don't know how many hundreds of thousands believed through him. Enormous numbers. Now, what we want is to be able to say, Lord, stay your hand. Lord, give me the glory. The glory that belongs to God alone, and my glory will I not give to another. Nor my praise to graven images. God does not give away glory. God comes with his glory and shines through us. That is, so we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, there's a third reason. And it's a very important one, is this. The word glory is ichabod. And that means weight. There is a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glory is a weight. Now, very few people can take a spiritual weight. A spiritual weight means spiritual stamina, spiritual strength, spiritual willingness to bear it. Now, when Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, the next thing she said was, what she heard was, a sword shall pierce thine own soul also. If you're to receive the glory, you're to receive the glory with all the consequences, all the being disliked, because this glory shines out of us, and others therefore dislike us. This glory cannot be hidden. Moses had to put a veil over his face, and that was only temporary glory. We have glory that is from the face of Jesus Christ and shines out for us. So you will rouse the world's hatred. Do as you will, you will be hated for it. Do as you will, troubles will come. That is why many people don't really want the glory underneath. What they want is to be glorious, but not to have the God of glory dwell within. For our God is a consuming fire, and He burns up everything within us, and leaves us pure and holy, and He is the glory. Now that's the glory that we're after. That's a very great reason why we should have it. But there's a fourth reason, and the world cannot understand this. It's because of the glory that the world so dislikes us. Now, this is a word that changed its meaning when it came into the New Testament. You know, the New Testament uses a word for love, which they changed the meaning of. Well, no word in all the New Testament changed its meaning from Greek use to this. In Greek use, this word meant supposition, or imagination, or thinking. And it came to mean reputation, what you thought about another, or what another thought about you. And so it came to mean praise and glory. Now, this word here, glory, was taken by the New Testament and put as God's glory. Only occasionally is it spoken of as man's glory. It's the glory that comes from God alone. Therefore, who is to have this glory except those who totally seek after God and want the glory? And that's what I bring to you this Christmas morning. That you yourself are the receptacle of the glory. So God, break the potter's vessel, and let us shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and let us raise our torch of glory, and let us fight Midian again, and let us move ahead in the glory through the darkness, so that as the darkness gets worse, the glory shines out more and more. That is what I wish for you this Christmas, and that present would be above all presents you'd ever receive in your life if you knew the glory that was from the beginning of the world. Oh, show us thy glory, was the prayer of others. Now you can see that that is something the world cannot receive, but you can. Now, the other thing about it is this. This glory is involved in accepting shame. Only the Stoics among the Greeks accepted shame, and the only reason the Stoics did it was because they felt they were proudly above all feeling, all touch with the world, so that whatever the world did meant nothing to them. Hindu holy men follow Stoics, we don't. Now, to a Christian like Paul, his glory was his shame. Now, the people around us, whose glory is their shame, whose God is their belly, whose end is destruction. That's what happened in Windsor the other night. But here we have a glory that excels. You can't get better than that. And what we long for is you'll accept the shame, the suffering, the being ostracized, the giving up of life and all it holds, to step out for the Lord Jesus, to step out of the boat onto the water, to step out on the water to Jesus, to when you sing, say, Lord, save me, and He'll take your hand, He's lifted me many a time, and to go ahead to glory. Let the world go its way. Let the church go its way. Let the other Christians in here, if they don't want the glory, stay out of it. But say to Him, Lord, show us thy glory. You see, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, there's another reason I want you to realize this. It's this, that the glory was hidden in Jesus. Men couldn't see the glory. and they never will see it. They can only see in him pale Galilean. Thou hast conquered all. You've ruined the world. You've ruined the country. Your morality is horrible, and we cast away your bonds from us, and we will have no more obeying you. That's all they can see. But we can see in that babe, and that's why we're here this morning. One we just fall down before and worship, the King of Glory, the Lord of the nations, the God of gods, the coming one who shall save this world. Now I plead with you, just accept this one present this morning, that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. May that glory come through you out to the world.